Well, you know, it's good to be into the new year, and it's good to see what God is doing. And I'm looking forward to more testimonies. If God's doing something in your life, let us know, because I like this. And I hope you do as well, where we can share what God is doing in our lives. You know, I love to hear different things from different people. I love children, you know that. And I love to hear from kids what they want to be when they grow up. You with me? Especially little ones. So I was on the internet this week, and I read some stuff from kids. Some have pretty low expectations. Like, for example, this young guy, he says, in 20 years, I will be 32 and working at Kmart. Low expectations, okay. Nothing wrong with Kmart, but anyway. Another one says, when I grow up, I am 7, I want to be 8. Okay. There are some bizarre expectations that are out there. One says, when I grow up, I want to get a hat and put it on. I'm thinking you could do that now, but okay, that's fine. Another one that's a little bizarre, when I grow up, I want to be a mailbox. Not sure about that one, but okay. There's some that have higher expectations. I like this one. When I grow up, I want to be a vet and then an engineer. I think it meant engineer, but it says engineer, okay? And another one says, I want to succeed in herpetology. Does anybody know what that is? Honestly, I didn't, and I looked it up. Do you know that's an actual thing? It truly is. It's a form of zoology that works with reptiles. And I thought, okay, that's great. The last one was probably my favorite. When I grow up, this is what he wants. He says, I want to get a girlfriend, I want to kiss her, and then I want to rule the world. Perfect. That's some girlfriend, let me tell ya. You know, last week we talked about what it means as a church. Where do we want to be in the future? What is our vision as a church? And we talked about the fact that we want to be knowing Jesus, we want to be growing in Jesus, and we want to be showing Jesus to a diverse world. Now that's good, that's where we want to be ultimately. But the question is, how do we want to get there? And so today I want to talk about our mission, how do we get to where we want to be? And you may have seen this in the back on the screens back there. Our mission as a church is to glorify God by influencing the community around us with godly living. This is where we want to go. How do we do that? We do this through Bible-centered worship gatherings, the empowering of small groups, Pastor Les talked about that, embracing our community with love, and partnering with you as you bring Jesus to your world. So I want to unpackage that here for you this morning. First of all, in order to fulfill this mission, we got to start by looking up. We need to look up. It says here, our mission statement says, we do this through Bible-centered worship. Through Bible-centered worship. Now, I'm going to state the obvious, okay? If you didn't know, this is a church. Okay, I'm just stating the obvious. And one of the things that we do as a church is we are here together to worship Jesus. We are here to encourage each other. We are here to build each other up. That's my responsibility is as a pastor is to try to help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus, to expound on the Word of God, to talk about the Bible with you. And that's the responsibilities of our leadership team is to help you to grow in the Lord. Now, I have a problem when people don't have that focus, if that's not their desire. I've shared this picture with you before. This is Reverend Greta Josper. And now, she is the pastor of the United Church in Toronto. And she's allowed to keep her job as the pastor of the United Church in Toronto, even though she is an atheist. Figure that one out, okay? Like, to me, I thought about that. I thought, how in the world can you pastor a church and not believe in God and not have a relationship with God? I thought that's much like if you were a pilot and you were blind. You couldn't do it. You understand? Very long cane, maybe. No, you can't do it, okay? So how can you do it? See, and the reason I bring you to this is that we have to be focused on the right things, and that is to honor God. And how do we do that? How do we look up? Well, first of all, we've got to be Bible-centered. It starts with this book, folks, doesn't it? I love this book. And if you're not reading it on a daily basis, you got to be doing that. You got to be reading it. It was written over a course of about 1,500 years by at least 40 different authors. And the interesting thing is, it's throughout its pages, there is a consistency throughout it that talks about things that are very pertinent for our lives. And I love what it says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. It says, I've hid your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. God, I know you've given me things in here so I can live a life that honors you. We need to prepare yourself to read. We need to be reading daily. We need to be praying. We need to put ourselves in a place that we're free from distractions and where you can spend some time with God in this book, where you can listen to him. And by the way, when you read it, don't do one of these. Okay, what's it got to say? My favorite, I've said this one here before, the guy that took the Bible and said, he did Bible roulettes. You know what I'm talking about? Where you just kind of open it up and he says, Lord, I need guidance in my life. And he opened it up to Matthew chapter 27, verse 5. And it says, Judas went out and hung himself. And he says, that's not very helpful. So he jumped to Luke chapter 10, verse 37. And it says, go and do likewise. He said, this really is not helping me, Lord. So he turned it over to John chapter 13, verse 27. And it says, what you do, do quickly. Okay, so what I'm saying is, take the Bible and read it. Take a chapter and read through it. And by the way, do as James says in James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't merely listen to the word of God, but do what it says. So it starts with Bible-centeredness. We need to be Bible-centered. Looking up also means we need to be worshipers. Worship is an interesting word. The Bible Dictionary defines this as this: reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. The rituals or ceremonies by which this reverence is expressed. The English word worship comes from the Old English word worth-ship, a word which denotes the worthiness of one receiving the special honor or devotion. I love Psalm chapter 35, verse 6. And it says here, come let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. See, you may have seen the movies and stuff where somebody comes before a king and they bow down and show reverence to them. And the word worship here means to actually not just sing, which we did this morning, and Sonia led us in a wonderful time of worship or singing here, but it means an attitude of constantly being in a place of considering God worthy of our lives. That doesn't mean we always go down on our faces. That would be kind of messed up. You're walking down the street and you always fall on your face. It means having an attitude consistently of saying, Lord, you're worthy of my life, my devotion. I want to follow you. And folks, if we are going to get to our vision, to be growing, we need to be living out this, an attitude of worship. We do this, we our mission is to draw close to God through Bible-centered worship gatherings, it says in our mission statement. So the third part is we need to get together. We need to come together in a place like this to worship God together. This is important. And I love this because I love when people come up and express what God has done in their life. I think that is great, and that should be an ongoing thing. I'm looking forward to a lot of answered prayers this year. And I hope you are as well. I'm looking forward to more times of singing and worshiping together where the presence of God is felt and where God encourages us like he did this morning to not lose sight, to keep focused and keep moving ahead in the right way. Why do we get together? Because first of all, God told us to get together. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage each other. We come together to encourage. Why do we get together? Because worshiping Jesus together is powerful. I love the verse here in Acts chapter 4. Can you imagine this? Now think about this. They're in a place there was some persecution going on, so they got together and they began to pray and began to worship. And it says this, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. I love that. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Man, I want places to be shaking. I want God to be moving in such a way that we know he's here and we feel his presence. That's why we get together, because the power of God is there when we meet together. Why do we get together? We get together because we need community. We really, really need Christian community. John Wesley once said, the pastor from many years ago, he said, there's nothing more unchristian than a solitary Christian. You can't, I mean, I've said this thing before. See, here's the thing. Unless we are worshiping together, and I guess that brings me to my first point here, we grow more together than alone. And see, if we are by ourselves, it's like a coal out of the fire. You've done it, right? You've taken a coal, what happens? Come on. It dies. It goes from red hot to black. We need to be together to enjoy the company of one another, to keep us burning for Jesus. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more so when, as it says here, all the more so as we see the day of Jesus coming. We need to be together. So what's our mission? It starts, first of all, by looking up. Secondly, we need to be looking in. So the mission statement says here, the empowerment, we get together and we are encouraged through the empowerment of small groups. Folks, again, we need each other. We need our small groups. That's why you ask us how to lift. We need to be in a small group in order for us to receive that encouragement. I would like us to jump back to Hebrews chapter 10 for just a second. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. That word spur is an interesting one. You know what a spur is, right? For a horse, you kind of give him a kick to get him moving. The word spur is an interesting word because it means to exasperate, to irritate, to stimulate, or to provoke. Okay, let me give you an example with this. Imagine you guys are driving along and you're on a road trip and your wife is sitting beside you. And you've been driving for a while and you fall asleep at the wheel. Okay, you're tracking with me. Now imagine your wife who's sitting beside you realize this could happen, it could be your wife falling asleep, but most of the time I'm doing the driving, it's just the way it works. And your wife is not, now she notices that you're falling asleep, and she does one of these. Dear, my smookums, because that's what she calls you. Dear, I just, could you maybe please just keep your eye on the road? I know you need your rest. But dear, come on, please. You know, we just want to make sure that we get to our destination. I don't know if that would happen in your car. Here's what happens in my car. Wake up! And she's shaking the cobwebs out of my brain, right? You know what I'm talking about? By the way, if anybody was sleeping, you're not sleeping now. They're here this morning. Why is it, let me ask you this, why is it that we are so focused in these things like this, like an incident like this, and we are so making sure that we are alert, but when we see a believer going down the wrong path or doing the wrong things, we keep quiet and we just back away. You see, I think part of it is we as Christians sometimes are so sensitive and so easily offended. Folks, if somebody comes up to you and says, wake up, or somebody says to you, be careful where you're going, t- take it for what it's worth. And by the way, if you're going to do it in a way of caring for that person, not to point out their mistakes and ignore your own. But we do it to encourage, to spur one another on. For what? Towards love and good deeds. You are called to encourage each other to do the right things, to get on the right track, and not to get yourself in a situation that will be detrimental. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says this, therefore what? Encourage one another and what? Build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage. We need to be provoking each other. We need to be doing what we can to look into our lives, into our relationships, and encouraging people to keep going. So our mission is to look up, it is to look in. Thirdly, it is to look around. Our mission is to embrace our community with love. See, unless we are focusing on getting the good news of Jesus out there, if that is not our focus, then we've become a club and we've become introverted and we will die. I've said that before, and I can't stress this enough. Our purpose is to get the good news of Jesus out of these walls and get it to people that really need it. We put this map up here this week, and thanks to those that did this work. I love this, and I hope you take time to look at it every Sunday that you're here. This, folks, is your mission field. This is what God has called us to, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But think about all the people that are represented by this picture. Billions and billions of people, and most of them don't know Jesus. So our responsibility is to look around and to see what we can do to encourage others. Last week, I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul says, I have become all things to all men. If you jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, it says this, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I become like a Jew to win the Jew. To the Greek, to the Gentile, I become like this, become like them to win them. What Paul is saying is I want to do whatever I can to reach out to those neighbors around me so that I can somehow share the love of Jesus with them. So if I want to reach my Sikh neighbor, I don't have to put on a turban, but I can sit down with him with a cup of chai and spend some time with him and communicate on his level. I went this summer with an individual who is a native man, First Nations, and he took me fishing. Hallelujah. It was a God moment, let me just say. But I learned a couple of things there. I learned that, oh, by the way, I got a picture of us with it. Isn't that a great picture? Let's just take a moment to enjoy this picture of those two incredible fish that I'm holding. I learned a couple of things while I was with him. One was I have to respect the way he fishes and do it accordingly. I have to respect the way he treats his land and do it accordingly. So he took his first fish. Just give me a minute. He took his first fish and he threw it on the shore for the grizzly. Then he took the second fish and threw it on the shore for the other grizzly. And then he took the third fish. Now this is killing me, okay? He takes the third fish and he puts it in the fire and he burns it for his ancestors. And then he took his fourth fish and he says, well, there could be another grizzly. Like, I'm like, you're throwing away good fish. But I respected him and I had a great opportunity to talk. And see, here's the reason I bring that up is we need to look around for opportunities to relate to people around us and love them, to do what we can to share the love of Jesus. And no matter what the culture is around you, is there a way that you can, in fact, encourage those in that culture? On the internet, I found a really neat website. And if you're not sure how to reach to your neighbors, It gives a number of ways you can do that. It's called 52 ways, and I'm not going to give you all 52, okay? I'll give you just a few. 52 ways to spur one another toward love and good deeds. How can we encourage one another? I'll give you just a few. If you want these, I can give you the list of it. But one of the things you can do is send a heartfelt written note. Tell someone, call someone just to tell them to have a good day. Leave an uplifting sticky note for a coworker or family member, maybe a neighbor. Put a note on their windshield. Hey, I just want you to have a great day today. Speak life-giving, positive, uplifting words. Man, we say so many, or we hear so many negative messages, don't we? And it's good for us to speak life-giving messages. Let the store manager where you go into, that's just a good one. I like this one. Know what great service you receive from one of their employees. Do you know how many times store managers hear the negative stuff? Can you imagine if they heard some positive? It would blow them out of the water. They'll want you to come back. Really, they will. Acknowledge the positive changes you see in a friend. Tell someone how they inspired you. Thank them for something that is not normally praised. You can do this with your neighbors. Let someone know you are praying for them. You know what? Honestly, non-believers like to hear if you're praying for them. And sometimes they'll even let you do it. I've done it. I've done it to Sikh people. I've done it to people that are Buddhists. I've done it to other different religions. It means something to them. Tell them, and by the way, if you're going to tell them you're praying for them, would you do it? Like, follow up on that, okay? That's pretty important. Give a sincere compliment. Don't give a fluffy thing just to kind of make them feel good or to get something out of it. Drop off a plate of your favorite baked goods, especially if you know they're not doing well. And lastly, become a mentor. Share your heart with a younger version of yourself. There's so much we can do, simple little things, to reach out to those in our community. So look around. And lastly, can I encourage you to look beyond? Our mission statement says, as we partner with you, as you bring Jesus to your community. I said it last week, can I emphasize it again here today? It's your community, not mine, not Pastor Nicole, not Pastor Lassus, not Pastor Manveers. He's called you into that community. You are the one that will make a difference. And can I remind you what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15? He says, listen, here is what I expect from you. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news. He says, go. It's not a request. It's a commandment. He says, go do the work. Go and preach the gospel wherever your world may be, whatever you can do to make a difference. Go and preach the gospel and do whatever you can. I just finished reading a book, I think I mentioned it last week, called Girl Soldier, and you're going to see this next week. By the way, be here next week and bring a friend. We're going to see these kids from Uganda. And the book is about the Ugandan war in the late 1990s and the early 2000s and the awful things that went on during that time. And the book is about this young lady that was kidnapped and the things she went through was unbelievable. But the thing I found very interesting was that there wasn't a lot that people could do, but there was one group of people that said, we're going to do whatever we can, from Canada and the United States. And they set up camps. And throughout the book, you read about this group of people that would go and they would try to reach out. They would try to help these people. They would try to get these kids in, get them into some sort of counseling because they were messed up in a very big way. A group of people was called World Vision. And I think God is calling us, folks, to do what we can to help those, even in places like Uganda or Tanzania or Kenya or South America or wherever it may be, what we can to let them know that we care. Look beyond. Look beyond. I wanna end with a little story here today. It's a story that was written in George Sweeney's book called The No Guilt Guide to Witnessing. He tells about a man named John Currier. John was a guy that messed up back in the late 1940s, and he was guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. And what happened was that During his term, he was paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. 1949. 1968, before I was born, they realized that his sentence was a little bit extreme, so they terminated his sentence, 1968. The problem was that John is working on this farm, and he's working for a farmer that was a very harsh, driven man. The problem was that acquittal didn't reach John. And for 10 years afterward, John kept working for this very harsh farmer, not knowing, in fact, that he was free. 10 years. Finally, a state parole officer, he learned about the situation. He went out and found him and said, John, you're free. Here's a letter. You're free. And what the author to this book said was this: would it matter to you, and I quote, if someone sent you an important message, the most important in your life, and year after year, the urgent message was never delivered? You following me? What if somebody had a message for you, but it never reached you? The Bible tells us in Corinthians, how will they know? How will they know unless we go? Our mission, folks, our mission as a church is to go into all the world and to preach the good news to everyone. And I encourage you here this morning, I encourage you to look to yourself and say, God, how can I fulfill the mission that you have given us as a church? How can I live this out? How can I look beyond myself? How can I look up? How can I look around? How can I look further on? How can I look into my world? And maybe, just maybe, someone here today may be called by God to go beyond our circle and maybe called to go to one of these countries and make a difference for the kingdom of God. But are we willing to go to what God wants us to go into? Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. I pray you would help us as believers to be thankful for what you've done for us, but to see the mission you have called us to, a mission to look beyond ourselves, to look to those around us in our own community, in our own family, in our own city and country, and as well in our own world, and to look beyond ourselves, Father, and to see how we can take the message of Christ, the message of hope, the message of freedom to a world out there that is desperate for some good news. Lord, you call it the gospel, which it simply means the good news of Jesus. Help us to take that good news and to spread it wide and far. Let 2019 be a year where we are walking out our mission in an incredible way, where we would see people commit their lives to you, freed from bondages of sin and abuse and all the other stuff that they face, and to know you love them. You love them so much. God, help us to bring that message to our world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand as we worship together?